morning, the title of my lesson is God's Special Treasures. God's Special Treasures. It comes from one of the prophets, the prophet Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. The prophets were God's spokesman to the people. He spoke to the people on behalf of God. They gave God's message to the people. The prophets were very important to God. They were special to God. And God also today has His special treasures. And we want to take a look at that. The prophets' names are often reminiscent of what they stood for or what they did. Malachi's name means the messenger. He was a messenger of God. He spoke about the one who was to come to lead the way for Jesus. Who was John the Baptist? He speaks of that. The one who would come in the Spirit and power of God. Of the Spirit. And that was John the Baptist. Malachi was an amazing... The prophets as a whole were courageous, bold individuals. Brother Johnny Ramsey used to say about the prophet Amos. Amos was a powerful individual. He was called by God. He was given a message by God. And Brother Johnny Ramsey used to say, if he would come to a lot of the congregations of the Lord's people today, he wouldn't even get through Bible class and they'd be escorting him out the door. He told about the wickedness of sin. A priest there up in Israel said, He came from Judah, came up to Israel. God had a message for those people, and they needed to hear it. The priest Amaziah up there said, why don't you just go back to where you came from, Amos? Why don't you just go back there? Amos says, no, I've got a message from God, and you're going to hear it. And he stayed there, and he gave them his message. He rebuked sin. You know, God hates sin. And that's what the people were always doing, sinning against God, rebelling against Him. He had to send His prophets. They were His spokesmen. He didn't speak through the kings. He didn't speak through the king. He didn't want them to have a king. He gave them a king in His wrath. And He took the king away in His anger. Hosea 13 and verse 11. That was not part of God's plan originally. He didn't want them to have a king. He knew that they complain to God. We want to be like all the nations around us. Isn't that sad? A lot of people today want to be like everybody else. God said no. But then He relented. And Samuel, His prophet, got down on his hands and knees and was upset and said, God, they've rejected me. And God told Samuel, no, they haven't rejected you. They rejected me. I'm their king. I am the one that should be their king. And they've rejected me. You know, when God called... I'm sorry to get sidetracked, but there's so much about the prophets. They are wonderful individuals. They were marvelous. And they went through all types of adversity. No matter what, they proclaimed God's message to the people. The message that they needed to hear. When God called Samuel as a young lad in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel cried out in the night. He heard a voice that said, here am I, Lord. Or listen, I hear thy prophet. I'm listening to you. I got that backwards. I was thinking about Isaiah. Speak, for thy servant heareth. He said, speak, for thy servant heareth. In the original Hebrew, you know what that means? That means, speak. And I will obey you. Samuel was ready to do, even as a young lad, whatever God required of him, he was ready to do. Oh, those prophets. Can you tell I've been studying from the prophets recently? They were marvelous individuals. Another example I want to share with you. You know, Ezekiel, when God called Ezekiel, He told specifically why He called Ezekiel. I want the people to know that there's a prophet among them. And those people knew. I tell you, Ezekiel, what a man he was. Do you realize the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, that for years, and they are not the true church of our Lord, and they go false on many. They're not the true church of our Lord, but the Roman Catholic Church would not permit Ezekiel 16 to be read. They would not permit that for centuries. You know why? Because it told of how wicked those people were back then. Ezekiel chapter 16. You know what God said? You know what you people are like? You're like a bunch of whores is what you're like. And you know what you're doing? You're teaching your daughters to be whores just like you are. That's how wicked those people were back there. That's how God hates sin. He despises sin. And the only way to sin is away from sin is to obey Him. That's why He sent His Son, to deliver us from our sins. It's through Jesus. He was the great prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy chapter 18. A prophet like unto Moses, I'm going to raise up. And the people will hear him. And I will put my words in his mouth. God said back then, I'll put my words in his mouth. How do I know that was Jesus that he's referring to back then? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, in Stephen's powerful sermon, he tells you exactly who that prophet Moses spoke about was. It was Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Stephen preached, I'm sorry to get sidetracked, but this is so important. Stephen preached a 3-point lesson there to those people. You know what lesson his first point was? His first point was, God says, I sent Joseph to you to deliver you to you people, your ancestors. I sent Joseph to deliver you, and you rejected him, but he delivered you anyways. Second point, I sent Moses to you to deliver you. You rejected Moses, but he delivered you anyway. I sent my only begotten Son to deliver you. You rejected him, but he provided the means of deliverance anyways. And he did. Through his precious blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, he delivers us from our sins. God's servants. God put his words into the mouth of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah was just a young individual, I will give you my words. I'll put my words in your mouth and you tell the people. And he had a twofold mission. He had a twofold mission. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 1. He had to do this. He had to root up, tear down, and destroy. And then he had to plant and build. What did he have to do? He had to refute error and he had to preach the truth. That's the exact thing that we need to do today. As gospel preachers and teachers, we need to preach the truth, but we got to refute error as well. And there's a lot of error going around in our world today that we've got to stand up against and preach the truth and turn away that error. I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but this is so very important. It's so important. The mission, the message that the prophets had. We're going to take a look at that message. Turn with your Bible, in your Bible with me to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, if you will. You notice what's taking place there. Malachi, actually, and if I can get there myself. Malachi chapter 3. They're kind of complaining. The people are complaining to God. And God's telling Malachi what they're complaining about. You notice in verse 13 of that third chapter what they said. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. But your words, the words you're speaking against me are harsh. I'm getting upset with you. You say, what have we spoken against you? You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. Look what you're doing. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and they go free. God was upset with them. They were saying, you know, you're letting people off easy. We're not. You're saying harsh things against us. You've hurt our feelings. We feel bad. You know, there was only one way out for those people. There was only one way out. Through the prophet Hosea. In Hosea chapter 2, you know what he told them? I am giving you the valley of Achor as a means of hope. I'm giving you the valley of Achor as a means of hope. What were they talking? What was God talking about there to them? Where do we come across the valley of Achor in Scripture? Joshua chapter 7. What happened in Joshua chapter 7? You remember what happened back then? Joshua was leading the people through the conquest of the promised land. They defeated Jericho. They come to Ai. What happens? That little city of Ai and their armies defeat the Israelites. Joshua's upset. He prays to God. He gets down on his hands and knees. What's wrong, God? God says to Joshua, don't you be their friend. Get up off your knees. There's work to do. There's sin in the camp. Get rid of that sin. And then you'll defeat Ai. There's sin in the camp. What had happened? Achan had taken from the spoils of Jericho that he wasn't supposed to do, was he? They weren't supposed to take anything from there. He took stuff for himself. He said, I sinned against God. So what did Joshua have to do? Joshua took Achan and all of his family, and they were killed. They were killed because, and you know where they were killed? They were killed in the valley of Achor. What was God trying to get across to them through the prophet Hosea? Your only means of deliverance is to be disciplined. That's what Joshua had to do. He had to discipline them. He had to take sin out of the camp. That's the only way. That's what we need today is discipline. We need to get rid of sin. And there's only one way to get rid of the sin. And that's how? Through Jesus, the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He's the means of our deliverance today. He is the only means through His precious blood that He shed on Calvary's cross for you and me. When He laid down His life for you and me, as I mentioned in Bible class, they didn't take His life from Him. He gave Himself for you and me. Back to Malachi. I mean, the sidetrack. I got away again, but this is so very important. Oh, those prophets were powerful individuals. Now, oftentimes they stood alone. Look at Jeremiah. He stood all alone. He was all alone. He kind of got discouraged at times. There was one time a ruler, smacked him in the face. And he said, he wasn't going to say anymore, but he says, God's word was in his heart like a burning fire shut up in his bones, and he couldn't do anything about it. He had to proclaim God's message. We need to hear God's message today, don't we? We need to listen to God. Listen to His message. And something else too. Something else just come. All these things come to mind. I'm sorry, I mean, but it's so very important that we need to let God speak to us. You know, that's wonderful, we pray to Him. And that's a marvelous avenue that we have. But we need to let Him talk to us as well through His Word. You know, do you realize oftentimes people say, oh, we can't understand the book of Revelation. We can't understand it. Why did God do what He did? And they blame God because they can't understand the book of Revelation. Do you realize there is over 200 references in the book of Revelation from the Old Testament? Is it God's fault we don't know the Old Testament? No, it's not God's fault. He's given us His Word. All of it. We need to listen to Him. He speaks to us through His Word. I've been given a marvelous privilege. My daughter showed me how to on my car. I'm going to get sidetracked. I'm sidetracked again. I get it all the time. In my car, there's a way that I can connect my telephone to my car somehow. They've got this thing that devises it up. And I can listen to the Word of God as I go to work. It takes me a little over an hour to go to work, a little over an hour to come home. Every day I get to listen to God's Word, almost 3 hours at least every day. I let God speak to me because I want to hear Him. I want to know His Word. And you can do the same thing. You know, it's readily available right here. Malachi said, you know, after God had said how these people spoke out against Him, you notice what God said in verse 16? He has His special treasures. You notice what He says there in verse 13. It's verse 16. I can't read my own book. In verse 16 it is. He said, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day that I make them my jewels, my special treasures. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. His special treasures. Who are His special treasures? That's a description that God gives of the people that are special to Him. They're His special people. They're those ones who are willing to follow Him, to listen to Him when He speaks to them, to follow His instructions, to not turn to the left or not turn to the right, to stay on that straight and narrow pathway as Jesus has instructed us to go. Go on that straight and narrow pathway. What do they do? What are the distinguishing characteristics of God's special treasures? Number one, you notice what He said there? What do? They fear Him. They reverence God. They hallow His name. They respect Him. They admire Him. In Habakkuk chapter 1, let all the earth keep silent before Him. The Lord is in His holy temple. What was God trying to get across through the prophet Habakkuk? Listen to God. He's there. Respect Him. Honor Him for who He truly is. He is the creator of all things. All things came into being through Him, through Jesus. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. Life was the light of all the world. He's the light of this dark world in which we live. Listen to Him. Hallow His name. He's great. He's marvelous. When we, and He doesn't mean, He means to show respect, to admiration. For He truly is. That's what His people do. Because, as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 111 and verse 10, that's the beginning of wisdom. You want to be a wise individual? Fear God and keep His commandments. Because as the Ecclesiastes writer Solomon tells us, that's the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments. Admire Him, respect Him for who He truly is. Bow down before Him. He is our King. People bellyached to God back then. We want a king like all the other nations around us. They wouldn't even acknowledge that they had a king. It was God. We have a king today. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He is something else too. Religious error in our world today. You know what Peter said in Acts chapter 2? He said that Jesus is on David's throne right now, reigning in heaven. He's reigning in heaven right now. He's reigning as king over his people who are his special treasures. God's special treasures. He's reigning over his people right now. You know, there are those in the religious world today, they claim that, they haven't got all the Jews haven't got all their land yet, and Jesus is going to come back. And he's going to set foot on this earth, and he's going to reign, and he's finally going to reign for 1,000 years. He's reigning right now. Peter told us that. He's in heaven reigning over his people. And his people are special because they fear him. They fear him. Just a passage of scripture I wanted to share with you. In Jeremiah chapter 9, he said this. This is a beautiful passage of scripture. Something that you and I need to remember. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, God said this. Actually, in verse 23, the Lord said this. He said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the land. For in these I delight, says the Lord." You want to glory in something? Glory in this, that you know and you understand and you reverence Almighty God for who He is. And He's a God that shows loving kindness. But He's also a God of judgment. He judges as well because He hates sin. And He's got to do that. He despises sin. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah tells us that. He wants to shower down blessings. He wanted to shower down blessings upon the people in Jeremiah's day. You know what? It's so sad. You know what? And the prophet Jeremiah, he wept over the people. He wept over these people. These people were rejecting God, and he was trying to get through to their thick heads. They wouldn't listen to him, but he wept because of how they treated God and how they were like. You notice in Jeremiah chapter 9 what he said? "Oh, that my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaughter of the daughter of my people." You people are going into slavery. You're going to be there for 70 years. Why? Because you rejected your king. You rejected God, and God had to punish them. Does that say anything about today? Someday he is going to punish all sin. He's going to punish it. That's what he's going to do. It's very interesting. Things just come to mind as I'm preaching that. I guess that word's up in there. Just doesn't want to get rid of it. It doesn't want to leave. You know what Jeremiah had to say? Jeremiah said this. You know, he was telling the people about God and God's instructions for them. You know, you're going to have to go. And he even gave an illustration. There were two baskets of figs. And he says, one was good and one was bad. He said, the bad bag of figs, or basket of figs, that's the people that are submitting to God, that realize, you know, I have sinned. I am a sinner. I have sinned against God, and I'm going to take my punishment. I'm going to go over into captivity. And the others are those who, the bad bag was those who are rejecting God. We're not going to go and sin. And there was even a prophet, a false prophet in Jeremiah's day. His name was Hananiah. Jeremiah was walking around with a yoke on him, showing the people an illustration, you're going into slavery. You know what Hananiah, the false prophet, did? He took that yoke off of Jeremiah, tore it to pieces, and he told the people, he said, don't listen to this guy. Don't listen to him. You're not going into captivity. And then he kind of changed his mind. Well, if you do go into captivity, it's only going to be a couple years and you'll be back out. Don't worry about it. You know what Jeremiah said to that man? He said, Hananiah, because of what you've done, this year you are going to die. And you know what? Within that year, you know what happened to Hananiah? He died. He died because he wouldn't listen to God. God's special treasures, they fear God. You notice what else they do? I'm not going to get through all this, but this is... You notice what they did? They feared God. They spoke to one another. They had fellowship with one another. They realized, they admonished, they exhorted one another. They realized that they were workers together with God. You know what Paul says? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're working with God when we are a part of his family. That's the bride of Christ. His family is the bride of Christ. That's his church. And his church is working with him. That's God's special treasures. They fear him. They speak, they talk, they fellowship with one another. They fellowship with him. We're in this together. We are a family, the family of God. That's what his church is. His church is his family. He gave his life, Paul tells us, for his church. In the book of Acts, he told the Ephesian elders that. He gave his life for his church, his people, his special treasures. That's his treasures today. And they fellowship with one another. They're in harmony. You know, we are so few in number compared to the number of people in this world. We need to stick together. We need to stick with God too. We need to work together for his kingdom, for his church. Do you realize God's people have always been in the minority? You remember when they came out of Egypt? How many of them were there? There were over 6,000 men. Many claim that there was at least, well, if you count the women and children, there's probably over 1 million people came out of Egypt headed for the promised land. How many went into the promised land? How many of those 600,000 men entered the promised land? Two. Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two. They were special treasures, weren't they? God's got special treasures today. They're his people. They fellowship with him. They fear him. Something else too. You notice what else? What do? They meditate on his name. They meditate on him. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 1 that he meditates on him day and night. I meditate on him day and night. I remember him. I fellowship with him day and night. Do we do that today? Do we fellowship with him? Do we commune with him? You know, each and every Lord's Day, we remember his Son and our Savior Jesus. Do we fellowship? His special treasures do. They fellowship. They meditate with him day and night on his word. They let him speak to them. Speak and proclaim his message to them. He wants them to know all about him. Something else I just want to tell you. I ran out of time, I'm afraid. But something else too. His special treasures, their lives have been changed. They're different people than what they once were. They were all sinners at one time. They're separated. They touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. They do not touch, they do not taste, they do not handle the doctrines of men. Colossians chapter 2 verses 21 and 22. Their affections are on things above, not on things on the earth. For they died to sin. They died to this world. Colossians 3 verses 1 to 2. They are also abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as they know that their labor is never in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 56. That's God's special treasures. And they're content. They're at peace. They're at peace with God. You know, there's no greater peace than the peace that is given to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, I'll wrap it up with this. Genesis chapter 49... Genesis chapter 49, Jacob was about to pass away, and he gave a blessing to each of his sons. And to Judah, he said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes." You know what the word Shiloh means? It means bringer of peace. Who brought peace to this dark world in which we live? It was Jesus. His people are content because they are in Him. You know what the Apostle Paul wrote? And I'll conclude it with this. The Apostle Paul in the Ephesian letter wrote this, if I can just get to it. In Ephesians, he said this. He says, "He is our peace." Referring to Jesus, He is our peace. Now, if you go back to the original language, you know how that reads? It reads, "He Himself is the peace of us." The peace. The only peace. You want peace in this world. You want peace in this life. It's only found one place. It's found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And His special treasures are content. Back in Malachi's day, they were in God. Today, we are in Christ and God as well through what Jesus has done for us. The question that I want to present to you this morning as we conclude is, are you one of His special treasures? Are you one of His chosen people who have come out of this world of sin and darkness and have seen the light and have submitted to the will of Jesus, our Savior? Have you obeyed His gospel? Have you repented of your sins, confessed that He is your Lord, and been buried in the waters of baptism, having your sins washed away by His precious blood? If you haven't done so, then you're not one of His special treasures. But if you have done so, how blessed you are. You're one of His children. Perhaps you've just done that, but you've strayed away from Him. You're like a lost sheep that's gone astray. Come back to the fold of safety. We'd love to help you do so. Can we pray for you? Can we help you to be restored back to a right relationship with Him if you strayed away? If there's anyone here this morning who might have a need that we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.